WAKY 1233. Good morning, everybody. Mike Griffin coming up at 2 o'clock this morning. The Wacky Talk Show. I'll tell you more about that in a few minutes. It'll be exciting. WAKY. It's 1240. Mike Griffin. Boy, had a terrible screech there. But your sharing is caring. Help an emotionally ill person find himself. Be a Bridgehaven volunteer. Call 637-1454 or visit 1423 South 4th Street. Elton John. Elton John from WAKY, Philadelphia Freedom. 1245. Mike Griffin with all the best music in Kentucky and all the best music by all the superstars. Music by Captain Neil, Linda Ronstadt, Rick Derringer, David Soul, 10cc, Fleetwood Mac. All coming up in just a few minutes on Wacky. ABBA, ABBA, and a song called Dancing Queen. WAKY. 1252, Mike Griffin on this wonderful, wonderful, beautiful, exciting Monday morning with Rose Royce. Good morning, everybody. 1204, Mike Griffin, the Beach Boys from Shampoo. Wouldn't it be nice? WAKY at 106, good morning, everybody. David Soul, Don't Give Up on Us. Don't give up on us. And the opposite of that is Don't Give Down on Us. I don't know what that means, but it's 109 from WAKY. Your sharing is caring. Help an emotionally ill person find himself. Be a Bridgehaven volunteer. 637-1454 or visit 1423 South 4th. Chat. Cancer Hope and Telecare provides counseling information for persons with cancer-related problems. Call 589-4313 anytime. For young people with problems, there's help always in reach. Just dial here at 589-4470. Wacky Kentuckiana weather, clear and cold tonight. Low 32 degrees, mostly sunny today. A high of 55. Southern Indiana has 30 degrees. Central Kentucky, 34. 39 from WAKY. What kind of things do you do for love? Wacky Radio. It's 1:15. Make that 1:16. WAKY, best music time. Mike Griffin coming up. All the best music in Kentuckiana. Music by the Starland Vocal Band, Bloodstone, David Bowie, and Fleetwood Mac. All coming up. Wacky. WAKY, 1:29. Mike Griffin. Right now, someone has been deprived of his constitutionally guaranteed rights. It could be you. Learn your rights. Contact the Kentucky Civil Liberties Union, 3618 Lexington Road, or call 895-0279. 1:30, WAKY, Mike Griffin, Derek and the Dominoes, Layla. WAKY, Eric Clapton, Derek and the Dominoes, Layla. It's 1:37. Metro Social Service Department can answer your questions about welfare recipients and delinquent or dependent children. Call them today at 581-6312. The Red Cross needs 1,200 units of donated blood each week. Won't you help? Visit the new Red Cross Blood Center at 510 East Chestnut soon. Wacky Kentuckiana weather, clear, cold tonight. Low 32 degrees, mostly sunny today, a high of 55. It's 39 from WAKY. WAKY, 1:45. Mike Griffin on this wonderful, wonderful, marvelous Monday morning. The Housing Opportunity Center can eliminate home buying confusion. For 5 years, their home ownership counselors have given valuable free information and leads to available homes. Call 582-3815 for free home buying help. All you got to do is say, help! Help! That's all you have to say, and they'll know that something's wrong and that you need them.
All six persons on board a small plane were killed when the aircraft crashed and burned near the airport at Claxton. And that's the news from the Associated Press Radio News Center in Washington. This is John O'Malley.
A special Olympics workshop will be held on March 8th at Churchill Park School. The emphasis will be on gymnastic skills for Special Olympic competition in April. The WAKY forecast for Kentucky and Indiana, cloudy this morning, low 32, partly sunny today with a high around 53. I'm Sherry Kendall, Action Information.
Mike Griffin, 79, WAKY.
Wacky Talk Show's on the air. It's now going everywhere. Wacky Talk Show's on the air. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Good morning, everybody. It's 1 minute after 2 o'clock.
Wacky Talk Show's on the air. Wacky Talk Show's on the air. Wacky Talk Show's on the air.
Well, here it is, Monday morning, March 7th, 1977. We're only a couple of months away from the Kentucky Derby basketball season. Well, somebody came to me Friday and they said, wow, it was Saturday. I lost a bundle on the Kentucky game. Kentucky lost! Well, if you're wondering how to bet your money, there are a number of ways. There are horses. If you want to throw it away, we'll tell you how to throw your money away this morning. But if you want to bet your money wisely, we have the right fellow right here, and he can tell you what the secrets are to the gambling game. Right?
Right.
Right. On my left is the handicapper. We will refer to him as Bob because he doesn't want to be identified with CBers. I will tell you, first of all, our numbers are 587-7979. I believe that's the correct number. They changed the numbers on the Wacky Talk Show. But anyway, our subject this morning is gambling of all types. And we have the handicapper here. And he's been known to hit a few long shots in the horse races and stuff like that. Of course, Daniel Boone hit more long shots, but another story there. Well, how are you doing at the track?
I am doing fine. How are you doing today, Michael?
I'm doing fine. Lost $2 at the track on a horse that almost finished first. Now, what did I do wrong?
Well, first of all, you probably bet, but that's the way it goes. You probably listened to a fool anyway when you decided to make the bet.
Yes. Now, what kind of stuff goes on? I know there's a lot of illegal gambling in Louisville, but is there a lot compared to other cities?
Oh, I can't say there's a lot. I think there's possibly even less in Louisville than a lot of other cities. I don't know why, but there just doesn't seem to be as much. Because when a town had the grand jury about 10 years back, they really scared a lot of the bookies off, and they never came back.
Never came back.
Never came back. Then again, the ones that are booking now booked all through it and didn't care.
Really? Now, what about this off-track this messenger service?
Yes.
What's happening with that now?
Well, as I understand it, Governor Carroll had introduced into the Senate a bill that would make it illegal for this track messaging service to work, and the bill becomes a law just before the Derby, sometime in March. Mm-hmm. I think it's about 2 weeks away when the bill becomes officially a law, and they will no longer be allowed to operate, but the owner of Trackside says that he's going to fight it anyway and continue to operate.
I don't understand why everybody's against gambling. I mean, why do you think people are down on gambling?
I really can't answer that. I know people who gamble, they just love it, and people who have never gambled seem to have a religious thing against it. You know, like there's nothing worse than the guy shuffling a deck of cards or putting $2 down on a horse.
Maybe it's movies like was on TV tonight, The Gambler.
Yes.
Old James Caan almost got his face smashed because he couldn't pay his gambling debt. He owed $44,000.
But it doesn't really go that way because no bookie in his right mind will ever let you get over $300-$400 into debt. Most of them won't even take debts nowadays. And even supposedly in New York, where he came from, he was supposedly again dealing with the mob. They will never let anyone go over $5,000. And it was just a joke. It was a Hollywood put on, you know.
Well, what would happen to somebody who owed $5,000 in New York?
Well, everybody says they go around breaking arms or breaking legs. Usually what happens is, I've known a couple of cases where people owed great sums of money, and they'd come along and say, hey, you know, I realize you got to live, and I realize maybe, something's going on right now, but you show me something that you're paying something so I can write it down in my books, and eventually they'll let you pay it off just about any way they can. It's really just as long as you're making an honest attempt to pay it off, and everything's fine.
Yeah, and how come some people are successful gamblers and others aren't?
Well, there are some people that go out there, and I know someone who went to the track with me one time and actually believed they could look at the aura of the horses and other such things, and they thought they could win that way. And people will go out there and bet on, if their name is Bob, they'll bet on a horse named Hardy Bob.
Or, do you ever get feelings, strong feelings, like this horse is going to do it?
Well, if good, solid gamblers will wake up one day and say there ain't no way they're going to beat me today, and there's no way that guy can lose that day. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll look at a horse and I'll just know he's going to win. There's just no way they're going to keep this horse from winning. And that's when you reach in with both hands, as the old saying goes, when you're ready to bet.
Now, what about basketball? What was wrong with betting on Kentucky this weekend?
Well, let's look at it logically now. Tennessee beat Kentucky at Kentucky. Now, I realize if you want to make excuses for Kentucky when they were playing at Lexington, Jay Scheidler, who is an excellent free throw shooter, got knocked unconscious and someone else shot his free throws. And the boy Stevens, who shot the free throws, missed them both, and the game went into overtime, where Scheidler almost more than likely would have made one of them to win the game up there. But now looking at it logically, if Tennessee beat Kentucky at Kentucky, why wouldn't Tennessee beat Kentucky at Tennessee?
So it's a stupid bet is what you're saying.
Well, I mean, you got to be loyal to someone, but the spread around town on that game was anywhere from you could have Tennessee in two up to, or you can have Tennessee in eight up to Kentucky in about three, depending on, you know, where you were around town.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a joke any way you look at it, because it was people back down here were betting with, you know, prejudice towards against Tennessee and in favor of Kentucky.
Stupid bet.
Well, I can't say it's a stupid bet. Kentucky looked like a winner for most of the game. They were up by 4 or 5 at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
Good team, Kentucky.
Good team, Kentucky. We've got to say that.
Yeah.
Kentucky is a great team.
I honestly believe that. All right, Kentucky lost twice to Tennessee and once to Utah. The loss to Utah, again, making excuses, but the loss to Utah was they had two starters on the bench, their center and Mike Phillips. They had Scheidler and I believe Truman Clater or someone mm-hmm. like that also was sitting out.
Now, what are the penalties for somebody getting caught betting on games like this? Say they go.
Well, do you mean an average citizen or?
Yeah, an average citizen. Say they go to a bookie and they get caught.
The police won't take anyone. If you're in a bookie parlor, and there are one or two around town, and the police decide to bust him on that particular day because the wind was blowing in the right direction, and they'll go in there and they'll say shame, shame, and they'll take the bookie and they'll give him a $15 fine and keep him around court for 8 to 9 hours, and they'll let everyone else go usually.
So not much happens on these gambling trips.
Well, they can't be bringing down 15 or 20 people, and a lot of these are. One time I was at a place and just walked out of the place, and the police decided to bust it. And then when they busted, they found out a retired judge from Louisville was in there. And he was playing cards in the back room. And they decided that they'd come back later to bust that bookie. You know,
good move.
It just seemed right, yes.
Good move. Well, it seems funny that something that so many people engage in would be illegal, gambling. I mean, everybody does it some way or another.
Really, this track side they have now, if Kentucky has legalized horse racing. I mean, the Derby's been run here for 103 years now. All Trackside is doing is simply taking your wager, placing it at the track itself. They're not booking any of it.
Mm-hmm.
The track gets the revenue. The state gets the revenue from the profits Trackside makes. It's a logical deal for the state to make money. Chicago started these up in Chicago. They have 150 of them around Chicago now, and the city of Chicago is making a fortune from them.
They just don't like it in Kentucky.
Oh, it's just, I guess they have the blue laws up in the north, and they have the Kentucky laws around here, whatever they're called.
The bluegrass laws.
The bluegrass laws.
Yes. Our numbers this morning are 587-7979. We're talking about any phase of betting, basketball, or if you want to get ready for baseball betting, right?
Right.
Talking about horse racing, whatever you want to talk about. In regard to gambling. 587-7979. This is Wacky. Good morning.
Mike?
Yes.
All right. We're talking about gambling.
That's correct.
And you said you bet it on Kentucky?
I didn't do that. I said a friend. Of course, it always has to be a friend.
I've had a bet the other Friday night. Except I bet on Jeff.
Mm-hmm. In high school?
Yeah. New Albany, and I gave him 12 points, and they won by 15.
Won by 15. Amazing. Now, how did you arrive at 12 points?
Well, because the first time we played New Albany, they beat them by 20. So I figured I'd take about 8 points off and make it 12.
I see. Well, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Have a good morning. This is Wacky. Hello. Hello, you're on the air. They were on the air. This is Wacky. Good morning. Hello? 587-7979. Good morning.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't catch it right off air. Yeah, what's happening?
Well, we're talking about gambling this morning.
Tampa. Yeah, there were. Mike? Yeah, I called you last week if you remember a foot.
I remember.
You do?
Yes. Do you have a question for the handicapper?
Hey, let me ask you one thing. At the beginning, I don't know, I didn't catch it. You said something about he's going to change his handle because of C-beers or something. What was that?
No, never mind. Just forget it. Do you have a question for the handicapper?
Okay. No, not Ralph Hand because he seems to be in to horses more than anything. I don't know. I do a lot of, well, I ain't going to say a lot, but I do some gambling around here myself.
What kind of gambling are you into?
Cards.
He's done it.
What?
Cards.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't actually have any questions. I just want to say, hey to you there. Mercy, I just, every weekend we have a family get around.
And, I see.
Yes,
a little illegal card game. Thank you very much. 587-7979. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah. How does he know so much about gambling? Does he?
The voice of experience.
Experience.
Yes. Would you like to tell us? Wait a minute. Let's have him tell us about his background.
Okay.
How'd you get started?
Oh, how did I get started? I had nothing better to do one day, I guess. So, well, I was brought up in New York City, and in New York, I just learned how to play cards at a very young age. I lived two blocks away from Aqueduct Raceway and used to, after school, we used to sneak in and watch the horses race. And I guess I just was always interested in...
A combination of a lot of bad influences.
That's right, bad influence.
Hey, Mike?
Yes.
Can I ask him a couple of questions?
Sure.
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay, now, I play cards quite a bit myself, and bingo, I don't know if you know anything about bingo or anything like that.
It's rigged.
It's rigged. Okay, look, I can play cards, say, at my brother-in-law's house, and he, say, we play every Friday night for a month.
Yeah.
He'll win three times out of 4 weeks.
Your brother-in-law or yourself?
Huh?
Who, you?
The brother-in-law wins.
Or my brother-in-law, he wins.
Yeah.
Is that just luck, or he plays it more or better? Or?
Well, poker is a game of complete skill. There's no luck that I've ever seen in poker, because... You may get lucky at a hand, you may get a hot streak in poker, but overall skill will get it by the end of the night, and he's probably just a better poker player.
Is it more money, you think, maybe sometimes? I mean, if he's got more money to play with, or does that have anything to do with it?
Not really, if you have a limit on the game. I don't know what your...
Pot limits, Like, what's in the pot you can bet?
Yeah.
Something like that.
What if there's nothing in the pot?
Well, they ante up. Pot limit is probably a game for the man with the most money, but even he needs someone else to make sure he gets the bet back and can continue to raising.
Yeah.
And I doubt if your brother-in-law would be playing with a partner. It doesn't seem family-like to me.
I don't understand it, though. I'd have a flush man, and he'd always come up, or I'd have a straight man. It's some real good hand. I've spent my whole,
Got
man. And he always got, something better. I can't figure
Do you trust your brother-in-law?
Huh?
Do you trust him?
No, I don't. I believe he cheats.
Well, last time I was in a poker game, I got beat twice, was four of a kind. And you know how that can feel when you have four of a kind and get beat. And I believe they were all honest, just that the hands run together.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times if you have a flush or straight, no one else out there is better than a pair, you're going to just win a small pot with a very good hand. And when the pots get large, it's usually because more than one people have good hands.
Does it make you feel masculine to play poker?
Me?
Yes.
Well, really, I think I'm like I have a pretty good hand, and I'd be kind of shy to bet,
But I mean, drinking and smoking and playing cards, these are all male things.
I know. That's what I'm trying to say, though. I say, like you get scared sometimes. Maybe I shouldn't be in a game. Like I got a good hand, but I don't want to,
What kind of poker do you play? Do you play stud poker or...
cards or sometimes fab,
If it's stud poker, there's really no reason to lose like that.
Be like seven to me?
Seven card stud?
Yeah. I always lose at that game, and I hate the game. I like five card stud. or draw poker, you know. But
well, draw poker is not really a game for gamblers. It's really not even played much in this town.
Except
this,
by me.
Well, I was over this place this joint, and I never play out except, you know, around the family. But this time I was with a person I knew, and I went to this tavern, and after they closed, they had a game.
Yeah.
And I just got a bonus from where I worked at. That was quite a bit. And I always thought that a flush beats a straight, right?
It always has in my book.
Okay. Over this place I played at.
I got some good advice for you. Give it up.
Sir.
Wait, can I tell you this?
Yes, sir.
I was at this place, and I was playing cards. And anyway, I had a flush beats a straight, right?
Yeah.
Okay. This fella says that the straight beat it, and he was a little bit bigger than me, and the kind of game I was in was a little bit rough, but I was drinking anyway, so I didn't care. But I don't know why.
Well, you mentioned four mistakes to me.
Huh?
First, you mentioned four mistakes to me before you even sat down.
What's that?
First, you were drinking, and drinking and gambling do not go together. No matter what you see in the movies, if you're going to gamble, you should not be drinking.
Yeah.
Unless you're John Wayne.
Unless you're John Wayne.
What's the other three?
Well, next, you went into a game where you didn't know anyone. It was not exactly a friendly type game, considering it was an after business hours type game.
Yeah.
And you allowed someone to talk you out of a hand.
No, I didn't allow him. He scared me. I thought I did.
Well, the whole idea when you're anywhere gambling is, first of all, you never let them know any emotion at all.
Well, the type of, I'm not making this up, the type of game I was in, they had a pistol on the table, and you paid the house for playing.
That's nothing unusual, though. Usually it's $2 or $4 an hour, and...
No, the winner always paid, and plus the whoever at the table, they paid, too.
Yeah, they cut the pots, then.
Something, I don't know how.
Yeah, it's nothing unusual for many games around this town. Seven or eight handed, first thing they'll do is half the table will lay their pistol out on the table. It just keeps the game honest.
I say, though, have you ever been in a game like that?
Once or twice.
What do you do? I mean, if somebody was to say, wait a minute, I got to straighten that beat your flush. I mean, what would you done, you know, like you're in a, after, well, like you said.
You could try.
Well, first of all, no one would try that around me. And second of all, if I were in a game like that and someone decided, they're probably, I would get up and leave and...
Well, I was scared after the guy won the hand, I was scared to quit, you know, because I was afraid then something would happen, but I was losing, you know.
Well, like I said...
You were intimidated.
Right?
I would probably get up and leave, go home, get my gun, come back, and get my money back. That's what I would do without even hesitating.
Stick to penny ante poker with your friends. It's the only safe way for people like us.
Yes.
All right. This is Wacky. Good morning.
Hello, Mike.
Hi.
Let me turn down my radio. Please.
Sure. It's 2:20 on the Wacky Talk Show.
I'm back.
Yes.
Okay, but is Bob there?
Yes, yeah. He is.
Yeah, this is Dennis. I've talked to you a couple times before.
Yeah.
And I want to discuss a couple things. What kind of, you know, this week San Francisco and Notre Dame played.
Yeah.
And you were aware of what kind of point spread they had on that game?
They made Frisco about a 5-point favorite.
Did they?
Yeah.
Well, I came within an inch of betting my whole paycheck on Notre Dame.
Would have been a good bet.
But I don't know. I don't believe that San Francisco... There's no way they're going to win it.
Have you been known to bet your entire paycheck on games and stuff?
No, not really. I've been known to bet up to $50, but not my whole paycheck. But
what kind of a record do you have? Do you generally win or generally lose or break even?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I'm usually pretty good, but I'm sort of like Bob, really. I won't bet unless I'm real sure, you know? And like... When back when Marquette and Louisville were playing, there wasn't a person in the where I worked that would believe that Louisville would beat them. But there was something I could, you know, something in my head, and I had to tell everybody, you know. I just had to tell everybody, and they were, you know, get out of here and stuff like that. and I made a couple of bets on that game, and it came through.
I have a better one than that. When Louisville played University of Nevada, Las Vegas, I told everyone in town that Vegas would beat them, and I got Vegas in about 7 or 8 points, depending on where I was betting.
Mm-hmm.
And, Vegas, Louisville got into a little trouble, and Vegas wound up winning the game.
Well, did you see Vegas San Francisco drawed Las Vegas in NCAA
yeah.
for their first game?
Yeah.
And I want to ask you about this, you know, it's a little bit early on picking the favorite horses for the Kentucky Derby.
Now, that's the one question. He says, I will not answer a question about the Kentucky Derby. I'm not going to predict who's going to win or who's going to be in it.
Well, I'm not going to ask him who's going to win.
No, he's...
I want to ask him...
He doesn't want to talk about the Kentucky Derby.
What's your question, Dennis?
There's a certain candidate, Make Amends. You've heard of him, I guess.
I've heard of him.
What kind of horse is this, anyway?
What do you mean?
All this ride up, and he comes in last in the California Derby.
Well, he got the big ride up because of the person who was on him that day. They took the Pred to Steve Cawthon. They flew him out to California and ran him in the $150,000 California Derby. And the horse, first of all, it was a mile and a quarter. Hold on a second here. I have a chart of the California Derby. And it was a mile and a 16th race. And a mile and a 16th of San Anita starts going right into the turn. And they gave Make Amends the post position in the furthest part out, the 11 pole.
Yeah.
And what happened, going around the first turn, he went about like 7 or 8 horses wide. And he like ran his whole race just then.
Mm-hmm.
And he never really had a shot in the race coming from the 11 pole. And usually post position doesn't mean anything in a horse race, but on very unusual races like the mile and an eighth at New York or at Arlington or the mile 40 yards down at the fairgrounds, an outside post position can be disastrous for a horse, and he just got caught up on the outside. So you can't judge that race. And judge the horse off that race.
Yeah, you think Kaufman is probably riding a Kentucky Derby? Or?
Well, if I owned an animal worth a couple of $1 million, I wouldn't put an apprentice jockey on it for a Kentucky Derby. But somebody's liable to give him possibly a weaker bout into the Derby, but
you can't tell. You got to admit he's good, though.
The kid has the best timing I've ever seen,
mm-hmm.
but he's still in he is still an apprentice, and there's just so much experience that he doesn't have yet.
Yeah.
Maybe in a couple of years, if he doesn't outgrow, you know, being a jockey, he'll be one of the great jockeys of all time.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's all. I'll talk to you later then.
All right.
All right.
Have a good night. This is Wacky. Good morning.
This is my first time.
Yes.
And can I be on the air?
Do you have a question for Bob?
Huh?
Do you have a question for Bob?
No.
Well, then the answer is no. This is Wacky. Good morning.
Yeah. I got a couple things I want to ask the guy.
Okay.
Oh, first of all, I got Notre Dame at a 1-point favorite against Frisco.
Well, who'd you get it off of?
Well, I'm not...
Well, I mean, did you get it off of a
yeah, it was off a bookie.
Well, you could have got a better line somewhere else.
Yeah. But, you know, the AP poll don't mean nothing when it comes down to actual betting. You know, the number one
team. The AP poll is really, it's a joke.
Well, like when Kentucky played Notre Dame was number 2, Kentucky was 8, and they were a 10-point favorite.
Yeah, well, it was at a Kentucky home site, although they made Notre Dame the home team. But it was at Freedom Hall, which is more of a Kentucky favorite thing, and Kentucky had a better team.
Yeah, right. But, I want to ask you this. What would you give with UCLA and U of L next week?
Well, you have to make UCLA the favorite, and they'll probably beat them. I'd say UCLA at a neutral site would be about a 4 or 5 point favorite out of
Shouldn't
Vegas.
Talk like that in Louisville.
Would you give that many or take it?
Would I give or take that many?
Yeah.
I think, considering how the line will come in, I think UCLA is a stronger team. Now, I'll get a lot of kickback from that, from the U of L fans, but U of L just lost when they shouldn't have lost during the year.
Uh-huh.
So I'd have to say that Logically, UCLA should win the game.
Yeah.
Not saying that I'd bet it either way.
Oh, and, you know, it wasn't a bad bet taking Kentucky either if you could get 3 points, which was a pretty popular spread, really.
Well, you're absolutely right. Kentucky, at one place I found you could get 4 points. And Kentucky hasn't lost by that many all year.
Well, that's like a, I always feel like whenever I can get UCLA or somebody like that in points, which doesn't happen very often, but you can occasionally to take it, and it's not a bad bet even if you lose.
Well, I always found that any time two teams are playing, I go to the bookies and look who has the 20-point spreads, and I take the 20 points.
Yeah.
I very rarely will give points on anything because a team don't have to win and carry the spread, but a team that's ahead big will let off and slacken up the last 10 or 15 points, and you may have taken a team that was 40 points inferior and taking a 20-point spread, and they won by 15 or 18 in a hand ride that they just didn't have to win by more points.
Yeah, well, you'll find that especially true in the tournament. Like last year in the NCAA, if you'd have took the points, you'd have made a bundle in every game. Because tournament, you know, the teams get fired up and everything, and the games are just closer than what the spread actually is.
Well, there's so much at stake for those young men's minds. They keep saying that we win the NCAA championship, and all of a sudden, me being a starter on this team, I get the money like Dave Thompson got.
Yeah.
You know, at a $400,000 a year salary or some other phenomenal number.
But do you ever bet in between? Like, the Kentucky game would have been a good game, taking Tennessee in 8 and Kentucky 3, but, you know, to bet 100 each way or something like that. Do you ever do that?
Quite often, but for some reason, all year long, one team has carried it one way or the other. It's been a strange year.
Yeah, I noticed that too. You haven't hit many in between. I wanted to ask you something else. I heard you mention Hardy Bob a long time ago, so obviously you go to Louisville Downs quite a bit.
Yeah, I thought of that horse yesterday because I wagered on him last night and he runs second.
Yeah. Well, I don't say you can make any money at Louisville Downs, do you?
I made about 500 last week, although this week I'm down about 100 and a half last week. But the week before, I did quite well.
The only thing about Louisville Downs is you just get 3 horses that are 7-2 and the other 2-1. You know, 5 of the 8 horses are favorites, then you might get a long shot at 20-1. So you might take a 3-1 shot and run out of the money, and another 3-1 shot wins. So, you know, what can you do? Which way do you turn?
Well, what I do at Louisville Downs, this year I've tried to make 3 $20 win bets a night on the 3 horses I thought couldn't lose if I got the right price, depending on each horse, of course. And I've had tremendous success all year just making 3 bets and just watching how they came. Because if you bet every race out there, you're bound to get boxed in once too often and just blow your bankroll.
Thank you for calling, sir.
W-A-K-Y
587-7979, the magic number this morning. It's 2:30 on the Wacky Talk Show. Wacky Kentucky on a weather clear and cold this morning, low 32. Mostly sunny today, a high 55. It's currently 38 at WAKY. Once again, we're talking about all aspects of gambling and the betting, illegal and otherwise, of different things. This is Wacky. Good morning. Oh, okay. We appreciate that little number this morning. This is Wacky. Hello.
Hello. This is Dangway.
Hi.
Okay. I want to ask a few questions about...
Go ahead, Stingray.
Okay. Now, is there a shortcut way of picking a horse? Is that looking through history?
I've never found one yet.
You haven't?
No.
Well,
maybe if you picked up their auras.
Huh? What?
No, nothing. Go ahead.
I've been to both Louisville Downs and Churchill Downs, and I've been more lucky at Churchill Downs. But
yeah.
I hardly ever picked a horse. I just picked a jockey.
Yeah. Well, for anyone...
I noticed that a jockey would win more races in a day than a horse would.
Well, for anyone going out to any track that knows absolutely nothing about nothing, they just as soon take their favorite color and put 2-1 on it, or their favorite name,
mm-hmm.
or their favorite jockey.
Yeah.
Because
that's
you're liable to
jockey.
Well, you're liable to take a Pablo out at Churchill Downs or McKnight or Brumfield, and he's liable to win three races during the day and keep you about even, or maybe you'll win a couple of dollars, and you'll have a nice day out the track.
What?
And you'll have a nice day out the track that way.
Yeah. But I always read the history of the horses, and it's so confusing if you don't understand what, you know, it means and everything.
Well, there's no sense looking at the history, Stingray, if you don't even understand what the running lines are for.
Is there any good books you could read?
By how many races a jockey would win. And I've been mostly lucky on that.
Well,
is it possible that you can bet mostly on a jockey than a horse?
I feel that jockeys find ways
somebody doesn't have experience in racehorse.
Well, you just as soon bet that way as any other way, Stingray.
What kind of books are out on betting on horse racing?
Well, for horse racing, I've always recommended a book by Andrew Beyer called Picking Winners. It's very basic for any beginner, and it'll not turn anyone, of course, into an instant winner, but it'll give you a good idea of what the whole game's about.
What about other forms of gambling, like on sports events, other sports events?
Well, there are just about any book on sports events will tell you more than you know and come up with things that you've never realized. Like during the off-season, someone was joking about me why I never went to the Trotters, and I told them very simply because I've never been able to do anything. So I got all the programs from Louisville Downs last year and started to understand what was going on, and now I can go out there and handicap trotters with anyone in town. It's just a matter of really a lot of work. I work every day on the program 4 or 5 hours, and I usually sit in the library downtown in the upstairs with my programs, and I really study them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm able to go out there every night with money in my pocket.
587-7979. Good morning.
Good morning. I would like to ask the guest on the show, what does he think the point spread of the Tennessee-Vanderbilt game would be?
Oh, it's at Tennessee or Vanderbilt? Is it at Tennessee or Vanderbilt?
Oh, say Vanderbilt.
If it's at Vanderbilt, they'll make Tennessee that 12-point favorite.
Okay, what was at Tennessee?
If it's at Tennessee, it'll probably be up around 18. Usually, home court advantage is worth about 3 points, you know, from one way to the other. So about a 6-point swing on home court advantage.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Wacky, good morning. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, I'd like to know who the guest is tonight.
His name is Bob. We'll not go further than that.
Well, that's fine. Yes, I'd like to ask him a couple questions.
Go ahead.
What are your questions?
Well, for one thing, they're playing in Tennessee tomorrow. Yeah.
All right.
And I'd like for him to pick for me the final two of the NCAA.
I'm not even sure who got all the byes.
What do you think about Notre Dame, North Carolina, Kentucky, Purdue? They're all in the same brackets.
Well, Kentucky
plays North Carolina.
All right, North Carolina should beat Purdue. Kentucky beat Notre Dame before. They'll beat them again. Kentucky should be able to handle North Carolina, and that'll get them into the semifinals, I imagine. I'm not sure how big the NCAA is this year.
Well, I want to make a statement about Arkansas.
Arkansas looks like one of the toughest teams in the country.
I think everybody's overlooking them. And I believe they may just very well come out of that lower bracket down there.
Well, the only loss Arkansas had this year was their fifth game of the year to
Memphis State,
and Memphis State still had their big setter. That was before one of the blood diseases killed them. And Memphis State was a really good team at that time.
Right.
And I was lucky that day and got an overlay in the line, and I bet Memphis State against Arkansas with the points, and they beat them by, I think, 4.
Right.
Memphis State won. And Arkansas, though, where they're not in a very tough conference, they never look back from there, winning, it seems like, 22 in a row. So they'll be a team to reckon with.
Right. And how long have you been gambling?
Since I was old enough to count money, I guess.
Do you ever pitch pennies at the line?
Yeah, for people that gamble.
Well, see, I'm hardcore. I try to get any odds I can anyway. Like, if I'm near a crap game, I'll give the guy even money on sixes and eights, and I'll try not to get the dice in my hand.
I see what you're saying.
You know, but I do it for a living, and if I don't do it for a living, I'll have to get a job manual work somewhere, and I don't know exactly.
I understand, but like I've bet the ball games, I have good weeks, and it always seems like I'm giving the money back. Seems like maybe I'm not smart.
Well,
you know what I mean? You ever had those weeks?
I've had so many weeks like that, it's not funny. I've had up and down weeks that you jump ahead at the beginning of the week, and at the end of the week, you're wondering where your next meal is coming from. But
I know what you mean. Well, I just want to say, watch out for Arkansas.
All right.
And the Big Blue Machine.
Thanks for calling. 587-7979. Hello.
Hello, 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 Mike.
Yes.
Yes. Tom here.
Hi, Tom.
You want to call me. Don't make any difference.
All right.
Is that handicapper that's down there?
Yes.
Yes, we're calling him Bob now.
Okay. Okay, Bob, I know what you mean. I know. Yeah, I just wonder, is it strictly illegal to do any type of gambling in your own home?
Well, if you're in your own home, and let's say you have a poker game going, if you're not charging the people to play, and if you're not cutting the pot, and there is no dealer or any of that other thing that gets paid, there's just about nothing they can do to you.
Yeah, well, it's strictly friendly. I mean, it's just family only.
Well, there's absolutely nothing they can do to you. And even at that, police will never bother anyone unless the stakes are high anyway.
Yeah, or unless somebody calls in. I ain't got no neighbors. Now, I just kind of wondered about that, you know, if they ever come nosing around, if they'd really say anything. I mean, like I say, it's just family, and we pass the deal. Whoever wins or don't make any difference.
Yeah.
You know, nickel, dime, quarter, five, ten, whatever. Dollars, you know. I just wonder, you know, how everybody's doing on their mercies. Snakes, I don't know what to tell you. Yeah, I'm not into it. I used to be. See, I've been playing cards since I was old enough to hold a deck of cards, maybe 9, 8.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of burnt out on it really anymore. It don't even mean nothing to me.
Well, all forms of gambling, in my opinion, I get bored with them after a while because during football season, I'll try to bet nothing but football and avoid the horses and a few other things. Now I'm doing nothing but studying trotters.
Yeah.
So I keep myself pretty pretty well refreshed on everything because I don't do everything all at once where I start getting bored or weak in certain areas.
Yeah. Well, I don't mess, you know, track too much, but I, you know, get a sheet around here or something and seems like I can pick them out. But I never have even tried it maybe twice to go low downs or anything. Or I don't know, I might try it sometime and see if my strategy works as good there as it does here.
Let us know if it does.
Yeah, hey, is it all right if I say hello to somebody?
Sure, go ahead.
Who do you want to say hello to?
Oh, a CB friend of mine. I know you don't like them.
Yes, we don't allow hellos on this program, but we'll allow you to say that who would you like to say hello to.
Yeah, I was going
to
say hello to Teen Queen if she's out there. And,
okay.
Yeah, take it easy, Mike.
All right. This is Wacky. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
Yes, are we on the air?
Yes, we are.
Okay. I just wanted to ask Bob a question here.
Yes, sir.
Yes, my wife works down to the Marriott Inn. She's been working there about 3 years. And every year, the guy that owns the Marriott tells her exactly, you know, he tells her that, like last year, you know, that Foolish Pleasure was going to win.
Yeah.
And he's always been right the last 3 years. And I was wondering, and I kind of wanted to ask Bob, like maybe this year, and when he told her that, if maybe we should go over and place a bet on the horse.
Well, the last 3 years of the Kentucky Derby, the favorite has won each year. So I don't know if you... Well, all right, last year, Bull Forbes, second choice, won. But in New York, they made him the favorite. And Morning Book line, he was 8-5, and at the track, he went off second choice. So picking the winner of the Derby for the last 3 years is not any particularly great feat, because they're really due for an unexpected horse to up and win it.
Well, okay, well, that's all I wanted to know, and thanks a lot.
All right, 587-7979. Hello.
Hello. I wanted to ask a question.
Yes.
You know those football cards that they pass out?
Yeah.
Are those things illegal?
About as illegal as prostitution and off-track betting is going to be in a little while.
Oh, I've never bet on myself, but I do know that they pass them out where my brother-in-law works, and he brings them home for us to see.
Yeah.
And I usually check off the ones I think I'm going to win, but I never bet on them. And I wanted to ask another question. Do you think that sometimes the horse races and pro basketball games and pro football games, do you think they're rigged?
Well, they just had, if you were listening to one of the stations today that Jimmy the Greek Snyder on, he said he supposedly went into an in-depth study of basketball this year, and he checked out all his sources, et cetera, et cetera, and came up with the fact that there is no point shaving in basketball.
Oh. Well, you know, I never understand this. Why do they give them a spread? You know, like, say they give one team 3 points or another team 12 points. What's the purpose of that? I don't understand.
Let's say two football teams are playing.
Okay.
One of them's the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the other one is Tampa Bay. Uh-huh. All right, now I took one of the better teams and one of the worst teams in football. Now, if they were to play even, Pittsburgh is going to win, considering the same personnel, no one injured. They're going to win every game. I mean, they just will not be upset. So what kind of odds can you put on that game? 1,000 to 1? So in other words, to win $1, you got to put up 1,000 if you like Pittsburgh. So instead, to make the game even, so you can put up the same amount of money, they give points.
Oh.
And it's just a way of eliminating odds, and it's still you have to put up 11 to win 10 in football. So the bookies get you both ways.
Oh, well, see, I was just wondering that because, well, I don't know, but talking about, you know, the games being rigged. I know I watch a lot of the Louisville games and, you know, and the Kentucky Colonels games. Sometimes they win. I mean, they lose when they really should have won. You know, they're really going strong, and then all of a sudden, bam, they lose.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I couldn't understand it.
Well, basketball teams, they're all streaks. When Louisville played Georgia Tech the other day, they were up by something like 8 points at the halftime, and Louisville simply told itself, its individual players, that, hey, we got a winner. And they went out the second half, and they didn't play with the same heart or the same enthusiasm, and they just gave way.
Oh, okay, I just thought of another question. You know, at the bingo, they just started these new little cards, and they're called mini bingos.
Yeah.
Are those things legal?
Well, I know very little about bingo, except that the odds are against you, and I really don't know nothing about...
You don't know the legal status of it.
Well, it has to be legal because they have them all day and all night.
Well, I know, I realize that, but you got to remember it's a church. In a lot of cases.
Yeah. Well, okay, thanks a lot.
Bye.
Okay, this is Wacky. Good morning. Hello? Yes?
I'd like to ask Bob about who he thinks to be the All-American team in basketball this year.
College basketball?
Right.
Center from San Francisco. I can't think of his name. I'd say they'll pick him over Benson, although... because Benson had an off year with an off team. It's really tough because I don't know the names of the players that well. I'm really not a good person to ask that. I'm sorry.
What about you think Johnson and Grumfield will be the forwards?
Well, King and Grumfield and maybe... Pardon?
Marcus Johnson.
Marcus Johnson. They're all going to be on the All-American team. They're going to find a slot somewhere. But for me to just come up with the names, Marquette has a couple of good ball players that it'd just be too tough. Hubbard, they were talking about today, that was almost a cinch to be All-American.
You know, you think Cox will make second team All-American?
I don't think Cox is
good enough to be an All-American. He's a fine ball player, but he's all strength on the inside, and I don't even think he's going to be a very good pro ball player because of his style. I think Givens will make a good pro ball player. Griffin on U of L looks like he'll be a fair ball player. But Cox, I just think there are too many strong 6'5 forwards for him to make in pro ball. Although he's a fine ball player, and it put him through college, which is probably his goal, you know, which is most of their goals.
Right. Did you know what the line was on the Boston game this afternoon, Boston and Denver?
That game was at Boston. This is a guess. I'd say they made Boston about a three-point favorite. At Denver, they probably would have made Denver about a five-point favorite. Denver. Pardon?
Did you see the game?
I saw the first half, and then I had to go somewhere. I saw Denver was leading at the half.
Yeah, Denver was doing real good. Esso got hurt in the early in the third quarter. He had 19. He never did come back in the game.
How did the score come out?
Boston won it in overtime by two.
Yeah. Well, they missed the spread by a point, I'd say.
That's pretty close, though.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. This is Wacky. Good morning. Hello? Come in if you hear me.
Goodbye.
587-7979. Hello.
Hello, Bill.
Oh, really? Wow. Amazing. The amazing story. She loves Bill. This is Wacky. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. I was wondering if he ever did any bang on wrestlers.
Wrestlers.
Right.
I enjoy watching wrestlers because of their showmanship, but I've never even been able to make it out to... What's it, the convention center over here? Louisville Gardens, where they wrestle.
Do you think it's real?
Well, listen to the professional wrestlers, some say it is, some say it isn't. I believe that the matches for the Southeast Championship or the American Championship, I believe they're real, but the bums, if you want to call them, that just do it every week for their $150 or $200, they just put on a show.
Yeah, okay. I kind of watched it on
that
television there a little bit, you know.
I'm
just wondering. Okay, thank you, man.
Thank you. This is Wacky. Good morning.
Yeah. This is Wacky Talk Show?
Yes.
Okay, what are y'all talking about this morning?
Well, we're talking about gambling. Do you have a question about gambling?
Okay. You know, the guy was on the walk about saying about games getting busted, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we had a game going once at school, and... police came in there and they just took our money. Could you tell us why they didn't arrest us?
You were on school grounds, first of all, and there is a law in most states, so I'm assuming it's in Kentucky, that there's absolutely no gambling allowed on school grounds because it's state property. And they were legally allowed to take your money, although I never heard of them taking the money and not bringing you down for some kind of... punishment of some kind. They probably pocketed the money, but who am I to say?
They gave you a break.
Right, but there's over $150 involved.
In a school?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Well,
paycheck.
I know the particular bookie I know of in this town gets busted pretty regularly every 6 or 7 months. And usually they take about $800 or $900 off him and report about $400 or $500 he had on him. And no one ever really knows or no one ever says a word about what happened to the rest of it because it's just something that everybody deserves to get their share.
It's mysterious. It's what it is.
Yeah, but what puzzled me, you know, they took our money and they just kind of grinned and said, thank you.
Well, you got off.
I was in a game one time. In a pool room, this was about a year ago, and I just walked out the door, and I pretty much broke the game, and they decided to lower the stakes and just play some. They were playing Tonk, just play some for the hell of it. And the police walked in and busted the game and took them all downtown, and there was $7 on the table. And it's just a matter of who they feel like doing what to, when, and where.
Yeah. So they probably just pocketed our money, you know, and said, you know, the heck with it.
Right. Thanks for calling in this morning. Wacky, hello.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Did I hear you say that poker was a man's game only?
No, I was saying that a little boy, when he's growing up, he sees this, and you, in order to be a man, you have to be able to play poker, and you got to win all the time.
Yeah.
See, that's one of the things you have to do to be a man in
double
this country.
Double standard.
You got to drink, you got to smoke cigarettes, you got to be able to beat people up, and you got to be able to play poker.
Oh, I love to play poker. I really do. Did you call this fellow Bill? Is that
his? Bob.
Bob.
Bob. And his nickname is Handicapper?
Yes.
Have I heard about him?
What have you heard about me?
I never tell.
Is this Lolita?
Yes.
Yes, someone told me you knew me. And I knew you, but I didn't know who you were, if you understand what I just said.
The amazing story.
It's an amazing story.
Maybe we should take odds on whether or not she actually knows you.
Yes, we should.
Wonder what kind of odds we could get. Well, what's your question, Lolita?
Well, I just I wanted to tell him about when I go to the track, or should I call someone, you know, to place a bet for me.
Yeah.
I play only by hunch. And really, I do real well at it. It's, if I look at the horses' names, you know, and so on, the horse that seems to appeal to me, I'll bet it. And I made, you know, good money on that just by hunch playing because it seems to work for me. What do you think about it?
It seems you have a lucky star shining on you, Lolita, and I hope it continues.
Well, gee, thank you. And one of these days I'm going to reveal myself to you and tell you what I know about you.
Oh, all right.
Should be exciting. I hope you do it on this program.
If you call up later, maybe you can tell me that. Because I have someone...
I'll try.
All right.
Okay, good night.
Bye.
Maybe we can tape it and broadcast highlights. This is Wacky. Good morning. Hello?
Yeah?
Yeah?
I'd like to...
Yes?
I'd like to ask him a couple of questions.
All right.
Go ahead.
Do you think that betting like on the card is a good idea for your money? You know, very good chance of winning?
Well, if you're a man who works for a living and you're going to put up a dollar for a card and you have a chance to win $25 or $50 or something like that, and you can afford the dollar, of course, without your children going without milk or whatever, it's just as good to do as anything else. You know, if you understand what I'm saying. But to try to make some kind of living off of betting on cards, there are just easier ways to do it.
Yeah, and like during the basketball season, say you've been doing pretty good from the start, winning.
Yeah.
Do you usually like stick to it more than you would in other sports? Like instead of going to a track, just be betting on most of the games?
Well, like I mentioned during football season, during the entire football season, I don't believe I went to a racetrack. From the fourth week of the football season to the 10th, all I did was bet games. And I concentrated on betting games, and I worked at betting games. Basketball, I don't bet that much because you can never know enough about basketball, and the other guy always seems to have an edge over you. So basketball is a good thing to avoid.
Well, that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you.
This is Wacky. Good morning. Hello.
Come in if you hear us.
This is Wacky. Hello.
This is Mike.
Yes.
That's too bad.
Oh, okay. Well, at least she had a sense of humor.
That's true.
This is Wacky. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've heard a lot of stuff on here tonight, people betting hunches, and I bet every day. And I find that emotion plays a lot into it. When you say, like, you go to the trots, do you, if a horse breaks stride that you think is really going to win, maybe the horse you handicap is really good.
Yeah.
But when it breaks stride, you look at it next week and you say, well, do I bet that horse again?
Well, first of all, most horses that break stride have a habit of doing it, like, let's say 50% of the time. And it's better if you like a horse in the race and you see that he's broken stride twice on his past performance, it's better to skip the race. Now, I bet a horse the other night that had never broken stride in my entire memory of the horse, and he stepped up. He still figured to be a good wager. It seemed like the people riding him bet on him because his odds were not quite as high as they should have been, and he found a way to break stride and ran a great race after breaking stride, but you just can't really judge. Those horses, a shadow will make them break stride.
What do you ever bet the big L?
Most every day if I feel it's right.
Have you studied any patterns or anything like that?
What do you mean by... Well, alright. When I handicap trotters, I have a complete set of every chart that they have printed this year.
Yeah.
And I don't even use the past performance lines. All I really use is the entries, and I study their charts, and I look for certain things in the charts that tell me what horses are ready. And when I see these horses coming up again, I usually get good, solid 4-to-1, 3-to-1 prices on them. I avoid favorites, betting strongly on a favorite because the money return is not there. And I've been doing pretty well this year.
Well, I've hit a couple of big L's.
This year, or?
Yeah.
All right.
And then I go back, and the same horses are running. And I think, well, that horse was good to me before. But he's in a different race with different horses. They made him up him in class.
Yeah.
And, you know, I see that a lot of emotions in there.
Well, a good rule at the Trotters is never bet a horse that they step up and make the favorite.
Yeah.
Because so many people I know that go out to the Trotters, and they look for a horse that run a 209 last time and no one else in the race run better than a 210.
Uh-huh.
But if that horse runs 209 and stepping up, he's not going to run that 209 again today. Not stepping up in class because the pace will be quicker and it'll tire him out earlier and he won't be able to cross the line at a 209 and the race may go at a 211 and he'll be finishing sixth or so.
Right.
So, it's best in the trotters, and horses dropping down are not used to winning, and a lot of times horses dropping down that they make big favorites are going to run second because they're not used to winning, and horses have to be in a winning habit to win at the trotters.
Yeah.
Usually the best horses to bet at the trotters are horses that have been running in that class, possibly becoming out of bad post positions and now are getting good post positions, and horses that did not lose lengths in the stretch their last time out, unless, of course, they were boxed in, and you should mark on your program all horses that get boxed in, and horses that were passing other horses in the stretch their last time out.
Right. That's what I look for. Did you look at Monday's program yet?
No, I haven't had the chance. I've been rather busy, but there is one real good bet Monday, and it might be the only bet I make.
For what, tomorrow?
Yeah, I believe the third or fourth race.
There go the odds. There go the odds.
Well, I have to mention the horse.
I have one in the second.
Yeah.
When you read the second race, I know you'll pick it out. You won't get any money on it, though.
Well, like I said, the only horse I've liked yesterday is a horse. Tomorrow is a horse in the third race, and he'll probably be the only bet I make.
Okay.
I may not even go out to the track. I just may do it illegally.
What kind of money do you bet on the race, ma'am?
What kind of money?
Yeah, like
$2.
$2 better?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any more than that.
$2 betters are the smartest wagers at the track.
And how do you come out?
Well, after these big outs, I'm doing real well.
Mm-hmm.
But usually I come out, I bet every race, which is wrong, I know that. I usually bet the perfectus too many tickets. So I know I'm throwing the money away there.
Well, I had an uncle who was a professional gambler, and he used to tell me that if any time in a race you take more than one ticket, and one of them you have to throw away at the end of the race, you took one too many tickets.
Right. That's true.
So it's better in a perfecta race, if you like a 4-5 perfecta, it's better to take that 5 times than to box 3 horses.
I know it. But like I say, a woman, I guess, is emotional. You like this horse, you can't make up your mind, so you buy both tickets.
Well, wouldn't it be just as easy to skip the race?
I can't do that. I'd get depressed if I didn't have $2 riding on that race if I'm sitting there.
Well, then I hope you enjoy yourself the rest of the year and never go into the hole.
Listen to me. Maybe. I'll get right and I'll sit through a race.
Good luck.
Keep the money in my pocket.
Well, a $2 better, there's no sense skipping a race because if you make only three or four $2 bets a night, let's say you make four, you hit two of them.
Well, you still come out with $6 or $8.
Well, you'll come out winning $6 or $8, but you got to remember, it cost you a dollar to get in. It cost you a dollar for the program. It cost you a half a dollar to park. If you bought a Coke, that cost something like 60 cents. And there are $3 or $4 worth of expenses, plus maybe a dollar or two for gas or bus if you're going to take a bus.
But what the heck? You're there for the fun. Right?
Right.
Yeah. Thanks for calling in this morning. Well, that's going to do it for the Wacky Talk Show. You have anything you'd like to say to close up, kind of? Nothing at all.
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all. Now, Jimmy Carter didn't have a whole lot to say either when he was through with his talk show.
Well, one thing I would like to say, I hope you all go out to Louisville Downs this week so I can win your money.
That's right. It works that way, doesn't it? 9.5 million people tried to call the president. Sorry, Bob, I mean, you just didn't draw that many.
Yes, but he only talked to 42.
He talked to 26 states. 26 states, 48 people. I don't know how many we talked to. We'll have to count up when we play back the tape. We'll count up and see how many we talked to, and we'll have that information on the air. Well, it's been an exciting talk show. We'll be back next week, Monday morning at 2 a.m. with more fun and good times, and I have one other thing I'd like to remind you. The Whitney M. Young Jr. Residential Manpower Center. Young men are training for good jobs. Call the Job Corps unit at 585-5911 and find out how you can do it, too, at no cost to you. And I hope when you go out to the track that the good Lord is with you because you need somebody.
Mike Griffin, 79, WKKY, Louisville.
Well, how about a little swearing and some hell raising on the radio? It's 313 WAKY, and the record didn't play. I'm thinking of some words that I could describe the record that didn't play as. But finally, I got it on for you, and finally, it is playing. Mary McGregor at WAKY. 324, Mike Griffin at the Whitney M. Young Jr. Residential Manpower Center. Young men are training for good jobs. Call the Job Corps unit at 585-5911 and find out how you, too, can do it at no cost to you. Accept is for people. The nonprofit agency provided as a free community service. Let Accept provide a plan for you and your creditors. Call Accept at 583-6704. Just for the fun of it, see Farmington Historic Mansion designed by Thomas Jefferson. For more fun things to do, go to the Visitors Information Center downtown at 5th and Walnut. Wacky, Kentucky on a weather clear and cold this morning, low 32 degrees, mostly sunny today, a high of 55. 36 at WAKY. WAKY 331. Good morning, everybody. Monday morning, March 7th, 1977. The Eagles on Wacky, New Kid in Town. Dancing Man from WAKY.
Wacky Radio.
338. Mike Griffin, good morning, everybody. Helen Reddy, and there's a terrible joke that I can't tell you that goes along with this record, but if you know it, laugh along with me, okay? Somebody took my time. Better put it back. Oh, there it is. It's 345 at WAKY. Mike Griffin with all the best music. Gordon Lightfoot's The Wreck of the Eighth. Edmund Fitzgerald.
The legend lives on.
All right, kids, shut up or I'll smack you down. God, Steve, you gotta teach your kid better manners than that. It's 350 WAKY. Nobody wants to hear a kid crying at 3 o'clock in the morning. You can ask all the new mothers in Kentuckiana. They know. The local animal shelter has many animals looking for a home. Visit the shelter on Manslick Road, and maybe you can even take an animal home with you. Right? Everyone needs an animal. There's a little animal in everyone. And an animal for the little animal, they just kind of go together, if you understand what I mean. All right. I'm bored. That's right, I'm bored sitting here, nothing to do except listen to the music. I want someone to talk to. Can you understand that? 587-7979. Give me a call. WAKY. It is 420 in West End of Louisville. If you're looking for a job, you can do it closer to the home now. See the new West End branch of the State Employment Service, 1809 South 34th Street. Actually, we've been reading the same announcement about 2 years now, so I guess it's no longer new. But you know where it is, so go there if you want a job. Oh, friends, we've got her on the telephone. That's right. We try every week to find some wonderful person. We have that wonderful person on the telephone. It's 423 WNKY talking about the
Devil Woman.
587-7979. That number again. 587-7979. Maybe somebody is interested in a weekend in New England. Well, we don't have one if you call that number. But it's a number to call, you know. And why do you do things sometimes? Why does a person climb Mount Everest? Why? Why does someone take it upon themselves to perform some great deed like that? Well, I'll tell you exactly why. It's simply for the challenge, because it's there. Right? 587-7979 is a telephone number, and it's there. So there's a challenge for you. People, now it takes great skill to negotiate the telephone dial. 587-7979. Now, especially, there'll be even more of a challenge if the room is darkened. Now, a lot of people this time of the morning, the room is dark. Maybe you're trying to, let's see. Well, maybe there's someone asleep in the house and you don't want to wake them up. That's even more of a challenge, you see. But 587-7979 is a number if you would care to call. It's 428 at WAKY. WAKY 432 with Mike Griffin. Good morning, everybody. Well, one of the people who accepted the challenge and called 587-7979 happens to be a member of the Louisville Ballet. And there's going to be a performance this weekend at Memorial Auditorium. It'll be 8 o'clock Friday. And on Saturday, matinees at 2 and 8 o'clock. Now, they're going to be doing some very interesting things. I can't pronounce all these things. There's one that I've written down here, Casino Roost or something like that, Lifeline and Night Shadow. They'll be doing three pieces. Now, I don't know if you get into ballet or not, but it's kind of neat. I mean, you've never really seen anything until you've seen a ballet in person. You've seen it on TV, and it's really dull and boring. Really, I mean, a lot of people look at it on TV, and it comes across that way, unless you have somebody really powerful like Nureyev, if you know what I'm talking about. I don't know if you get into ballet at all. But when you go and see it live, it means all that much more. And that'll be Memorial Auditorium, 8 o'clock Friday. Now, this is a non-profit organization, you see. So this is a public service announcement, right? It's not as if we're giving free commercials away. Okay, we're not doing that. There's a matinee, 2 at 8 o'clock on Saturday and 8 o'clock on Friday. The tickets are $350 to $750, whatever you want to pay, right? Of course, if you don't want to pay very much, you don't get as good a seat. And I understand there are some very nice-looking young ladies, and if you like to go see nice-looking young ladies dance around in interesting costumes, well, this will be your opportunity, and I suggest that you buy the more expensive seat. But it's really going to be neat. That's Memorial Auditorium this weekend. What else? Shelter House provides counseling, temporary housing, food, medical attention, referral service for youth under 18 who have run away from home. For information, call 584-3181. If you're a compulsive gambler, Gamblers Anonymous can help. Just give them a call at 587-6866. Wacky Kentucky on the weather. Clear and cold this morning, low 32 degrees. Mostly sunny today, high 55. It's 35 from WAKY. WAKY, 440, 20 minutes in front of 5 o'clock. Good morning, everybody. This wonderful Monday morning, the 7th day of March, 1977. The Exile, Try It On. Whoa, whoa, whoa. 447, 13 away from 5 o'clock on this extraordinary Monday morning. It's going to be kind of warm today, high 55. We got 35 at Wacky. Funny thing the guy wants there. He wants the little tiny drops of water that are on the plants and stuff when you get up in the morning to love him. Love me do. That's what he said. It's 503 from 79 WAKY. Good morning. Don't give up on us, baby. Don't give up on us. Well, some girls called in. How can you say things about falling in love with a Jew? That was a terrible thing. He said, well, here's what you ought to tell the people. Out of U of L, there is a new course being offered. Now, most people don't know about this new course, but they're actually going to teach plumbing at U of L. Plumbing. A lot of people are getting into it because, you know, there's a lot of money in plumbing. But the strange thing about this course is they're going back to the ancient Egyptian castles and the Egyptian tombs and all the great buildings of ancient Egypt. And they're studying the plumbing in those buildings. And the students in the new course are becoming known as Pharaoh Fawcett Majors.
Wacky Radio.
5:07 from WAKY, 7 minutes after 5 o'clock. I didn't make that up. I just pass them along. Ring, 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 ring. It's 5:15 from WAKY and Mike Griffin. Ring, 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 ring. Hello. Calling Dr. Love. This is Dr. Love. Hi.
I need my love, baby.
5:19 from WAKY. Never did figure out why they were calling Dr. Love, but they were. That's Kiss on Wacky. Good morning, Reed.
And good morning, Michael. Good morning, everyone.
30 degrees. Mike? To show you how considerate we are, Reed, for that weather forecast, we appreciate that. We've got a little applause. Are you ready?
Let's hear it.
All right.
I'd just like to say one thing.
He was thanking you, Reed. We're clever on this station, aren't we? After the lovin'. A lot of things can happen after that. Ask Planned Parenthood. It's 5:29. WAKY, 5:36. I think there's a hidden drug meaning to this song. It's called High Tide and Green Grass. Now, if you can grasp the meaning, you'll understand what I'm talking about. It's going to be mild today, a high of 55 degrees. We have 35 now from WAKY, music by the Outlaws. All right, WAKY, it's 5:51. I don't name these songs. I don't pick them out. I only play them. You know, I'd like to tell you the name of this song, but frankly, I'm a little embarrassed to do so. It's 5:51, 9 minutes away from 6 o'clock on WAKY, 34 degrees, headed for 55 today. It's going to be mild, mild today. It's going to be very nice. Now listen to this song, and remember what I told you. Well, here it is, 3 minutes after 6 o'clock, and again, the Duke of Louisville is not in this radio station. He is not really fulfilling the terms of his contract that says he's supposed to be here at 6 a.m. Now, I don't know what... There he is! 3 minutes late. Now, I wonder how much they'll be docking your pay for that.
Have we got a bet going?
What were the odds this morning? 20-1? Well, we thought he'd be here about 10 minutes. Well, he made it in. Would you like to play this record? Or
sure,
you
wanna... I love it. Love it. Oh, boy. Yes, it is. It's true. Those are the Beatles. 6:07, 7 after 6, Wacky Time. Well, we have some additional duties that have to be performed this morning, at least one. This is that time of year when, well, you don't want to hear about it. We had to fill out a log for BMI, Broadcast Music Incorporated. Now, in effect, what duty it entails is writing down the title of every song that we play and the writers, the composers of that song for a four-hour period. Now, you take this one duty, which is demeaning enough, and you tie it with all the other duties that have to be performed here this morning up until 10 o'clock this morning, and, you know, this work isn't... This job really isn't fit for man nor beast. 7 after 6, Wacky Time. Work for the fact that I get a little bit hungry when I go without food for two or three days in succession. You're on the way. Let's flee with a mag. Let's see what's happening at Kelly and Cohen today. Hey, today is what now? The seventh day of the month? Yeah, okay. Well, Kelly and Cohen then is continuing, but a few of those specials.